All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Let's go ahead and get ready for the Sunday school hour, my friends. With that said, would you do me a favor and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 4. We're going to go ahead and start off today for the Sunday school as a follow-up to where we left off from last Sunday at church in regards to the end of chapter 4 of Galatians, that the heirship does not come by and or through the law, that is the law given by God through Moses unto the nation of Israel, not just the general, if you will, Ten Commandments, but the additional commands that he would give them to govern them in the land of promise, to oversee their entire life, that would distinguish them from the heathen, if you will, around them, the Gentile people groups around them by dress and by physical circumcision for males and things like that, that the gospel, if you will, the New Testament gospel and the New Testament church, it doesn't follow through that law as it pertains to heirship. So today for the Sunday school, we're going to pick up from where we left off on that idea, and then I'm going to show you the New Testament verses of referencing to the heirship and to remind you that it comes solely and completely through the Lord Jesus Christ freely. By the way, that's the good news. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for allowing us to make it here to church for the Sunday school hour. We pray for those that will hopefully are on their way to church now. We pray that you would be honored and glorified. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and please allow me to continue to minister, Lord, in the love and in the light of Christ and what we have been given in the New Testament to help us to learn and to grow after the mind and heart of Christ, God. So please, Lord, aside from my human error in presenting this information, may you, God, continue to operate in the heart of your children here today through faith in the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Romans chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. We got a couple of verses to go through, so we're just going to read them, touch on that topic, if you will, for the connection for the heirship, and then keep on moving along, if you will. So Romans chapter 4, the Bible says here in verse number 11, speaking of Abraham, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet circumcised. So as you can see here, verses 11 and 12 of Romans chapter 4, they're highlighting the faith of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, the righteousness which he possessed because he expressed faith in God, when God revealed himself to him and his promise given him, he believed it, and hence that's what God credited to Abraham for righteousness. Now look at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. So keep reading that. But through the righteousness of faith. So chapter 4 of Galatians, remember we left off last Sunday in regards to Abraham and Sarah, they were given a promise by God that of Abraham's bowels, he will conceive seed, even though he was older, Sarah was older, not of their own deeds or their own work of the flesh, unfortunately, which they did, which was with who? Hagar, remember that, guys? It would completely come by God's provision. And then in Abraham's older age, about 100 years old, he finally had Isaac, remember that story? And so that was a fulfillment of the promise by faith that God gave him. So here we have it, that the heirship is not through the law, that is the amendment added later to the covenant promise to govern the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the land of promise, but through the righteousness of faith. So the basis of the reception of the heirship is faith. Now look at verse number 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. So that's why at the end of Galatians chapter 4, the Christian, if you will, those of us who are born again by the faith of Christ, we have been given a new heart. We are a new creature by the operation of Christ. We are not heirs of God through the law. We are heirs of God through the promise, likewise, like Abraham, for the basis of justification by faith. But now in the person of Jesus Christ, by his personal faith, we have been given eternal life because of our faith in the gospel. And so it is a complete gift of God. Nothing we can work for, nothing we can earn. We are heirs of God through Christ because of the promise that we've been given that is through the gospel. But it's the basis of Abraham, that is the righteousness which you obtain by faith. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, speaking of New Testament Christians. Let's read together starting in verse number 15. The Bible says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So there is an heirship which the Son has of the Father. There is an heirship which God the Father promised the Son. And because you believed on the Son, it's by the faith of the Son that he is going to receive that, because God the Father cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. So everything that the Father promised the Son in eternity is going to be fulfilled unto the Son. So then you and I, as sinners, that is, those of us who are the offspring of Adam, the created man, those of us who have believed on the Son of God, we are joint heirs with the Son of God in regards to the heirship that the Father promised him, not through the law. As you guys can see, it is by a promise. And that's what we were talking about for those of you guys who just came in here. Heirship is what we're talking about for the Sunday school. We are heirs of God through Christ, not through the law, but by the promise and the eternal covenant that was given by God the Father to God the Son. We are made beneficiaries of that. Now, how can one be a child of God? Just look up to the screen, Galatians chapter 3. This is very important. There is no other way, there is no other means by which a sinner can become an adopted child of God but by the faith of Christ. Look at here, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So in order for God the Father to legally and spiritually adopt you, the sinner, into his family so you can be a beneficiary of the heirship that God the Father promised God the Son, you have to believe in the Son of God. You have to receive the Son of God into your heart. You must be born again by trusting the gospel that he died for your sins and rose again from the dead to pay for your sin. And if you trust him and receive him for who he is and what he offers you, you will be forgiven. You'll be born again, and God the Father will then legally adopt you, like we read about in Romans chapter 8. So we receive the spirit of adoption, and then as a byproduct, we are made fellow heirs of God, but in Christ. Amen? So heirs of God through Christ, not the law. Okay, we're in Galatians chapter 3. Let's read together now. Go down to verse number 29. The Bible says, "And if ye be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the what? Promise, not the law." He already told you that in Romans chapter 4, and we just read that before you, some of y'all just came in here. So Christians are called children of Abraham because of the pattern of Abraham's justification by faith, not of works, or hence the law. It wasn't even around during the time of Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15, the way that you and I understand it through Moses, etc., etc. All born-again Christians, regardless if we're Jew or Gentile in the flesh by our first birth, remember, we are new creatures in Christ, and hence we are heirs of Abraham's covenant concerning the spiritual blessing that will come through his seed, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, through his eventual, you know, descendancy of his fulfillment of what he would do. We are heirs of that promise. So likewise, any and all who believe in Christ unto salvation, we likewise, by God the Father, will be justified through faith. And on that basis, we are accounted as Abraham's seed. We are heirs according to the promise. So we are just talking about biblical heirship today. Okay, now let's go to Galatians chapter 4. I'm just showing you all the New Testament references to biblical heirship. And this is the good news. It is a free gift for all who are willing to receive it and believe it. Look with me now in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 21. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 21. He says here, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman." Remember, we talked about this last Sunday, so we're just, if you will, picking up from where we left off at the end. "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Remember that, guys. Unfortunately, Abraham listened to Sarah. They both, if you will, in the context of the book of Galatians, as well as chapter 5, they sinned by giving into their flesh, if you will, when he hearkened unto his wife to go in unto their servant, if you will, their bond girl, Hagar. And so that was called a work of the flesh. When Abraham disregarded the promise of God and he took matters into his own hands to have a child and somehow, some way, thinking that God is going to fulfill the promise through Ishmael, but it wasn't. So now, let's keep reading. Which things are an allegory? We talked about that last Sunday. That's the only allegory in your King James Bible. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generates the bondage. Remember, friend, the law only embondages people. The law only condemns sinners. It does not offer life. The Bible says Agar represents that law. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Remember, that's the allegory. She represents that. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So Christians are free, but they're being persecuted by the law. That is, these are the children of the law, Orthodox Judaizers, and anyone who thinks still the law, if you will, generates life or somehow, some way, the basis for righteousness. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, that thou travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of what? Promise. So remember now, I just showed you two verses. We went to Romans chapter 4, we went to Romans chapter 8, and we went to Galatians chapter 3. We are heirs because of a promise. Bottom line. And so that's the good news. You and I have been gifted eternal life because of a promise. And if you trust God's word, remember, he cannot lie. It is impossible. You can take God at his word. He will save your soul. And he will take you to heaven, and he will bless you with an everlasting inheritance. So now Isaac represents what? The promise. Who does Ishmael represent? The law. Remember that. That's what Galatians 4, the allegory is. So then that's a type of the Christian. Now look at verse number 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. So what's the allegory? Ishmael represents the law. Jews who were not born again at the first century, remember that? They were persecuting Christians. Who was one of the most famous Jews who persecuted the Christians before he got saved? Anybody? Y'all know him. Saul. He was on his road to Damascus. He was a Jew in the flesh. He was of the religion of Judaism. He was a zealous man after the law and the traditions of his forefathers. We've been talking about that in our midweek Bible study. So remember that. That's what they represent. They are descendants of Ishmael in this allegory. They are descendants of the law which genereth to bondage, and they're persecuting people who are born again. That is the type of Isaac and the Christian, because we have been given this relationship with God through the promise of the gospel in Christ. Nevertheless, verse number 30, what say the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be what? Heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So once again, friend, the biblical heirship that you and I have in Christ is not through the law, but the promise. That's what we're talking about here this Sunday school afternoon. Now, my friend, let's go earlier to verse number 7, same chapter. The Word of God says here, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through who? Christ, not the law. Praise the living God. Amen. It is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, my friend, let's go now to Titus, chapter number 3. Titus, the third chapter. And let's read together now, my friend, starting at verse number 4 through 8. Here's some good news. I'm so glad that even though Brother Carlos is Poe in the flesh, I got a spiritual inheritance that is going to endure and last forever. You and I, my friend, we might not have much in the flesh. You might not have gotten a great inheritance from your daddies, your mommies, your forefathers, if you will. You might not have an inherited fortune that somebody labored for you centuries ago, and it's just going to be passed along right through every generation to generation. But if you trust the gospel by faith, here is the promise of your maker, your creator. I will give you an inheritance that will last for eternity if you just trust my son. That's good news to me, amen. There's no catch, by the way. There's no catch like men try to sell you on life insurance and obviously everything else this world tries to dupe you on, amen. Now look with me now, Titus chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible says, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Don't forget that, friend, that Jesus Christ was the love of God incarnate. He was the grace of God incarnate. He was the compassion of God incarnate, the invisible God made visible in the person of Christ. The Bible says in verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That is just another word for the operation of being born again. So whenever you hear this term regeneration or regenerated, it's just another way of saying born again, okay? Remember that word gene, it has to do with your DNA, if you will, the structure there. So hence a new heart, a new creature. It says, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through who? Jesus Christ who? Okay, so God the Father shed abundantly upon you a new heart. He gave you a new heart. You are a new creature, not through the law, but through the Son of God, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then who do you think is going to give you the heirship? Jesus, not the law. What's going to provide for you the heirship? Jesus, not the law. Now look at what it says in verse number 7, that being justified by his what? Grace. You see, friend, here's what I love about the Bible, if you leave it alone, and if you put commentaries on the side for a second. Everybody wants to just kind of limit the means of justification to little verses that they kind of isolate and cherry pick, even though that's true. I'm saved by the blood. That's right. You're justified by anybody? Faith, okay. But your Bible just said you're justified by his grace. There's a lot of things that God has saved you by and through. That's good. So receive it all, amen. I'm saved by the blood of Christ. I'm sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ. I'm justified by his grace. I'm justified by faith. I'm justified by the blood. All that. That's all good, amen. But now look at here. We're talking about the heirship. Look at verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the what? Hope of eternal life. So now look at what precedes Abraham. Look at what precedes the law. Look at what precedes Adam. There is a hope of eternal life that the Godhead purposed to offer you and I as created creatures. Adam, that is mankind. But it's going to be made manifest thoroughly and completely, and that is in detail through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. So eternal life has always been a hope that God desired to offer mankind. And not angels, not Lucifer, not the seraphim, not the cherubim, mankind. You want to be in on that? You want to be an heir of that? Then come to Jesus. God's grace is ready to help you to inherit that free of charge. Amen. You don't have to sign any dotted line. You just got to give him your heart. How about that? All right, now verse 8. Bible says, this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So guys, you know how Brother Carlos uses this to stir you to soul win, to stir you to be discipled, to stir you to help me in the work of ministry and reaching out to people, calling people, loving on people. Look at the context now. The Holy Spirit said, the reason I want you to remind every Christian in your church every time you see them is because they are heirs of what? The hope of eternal life. So if you have this hope of eternal life, y'all should be working for Jesus every day as best as you can, as much as you can, because it ain't going to go away, amen. You're not going to lose the hope of eternal life. You don't have to work for this hope of eternal life. You don't have to do anything to try to earn it. It's a complete gift of God. So if God gave you this completely by his grace, you know what the Holy Spirit expects of you now? Hey, you ought to maintain some good works for Jesus. You ought to do your best to be a faithful church member. You ought to do your best to be a faithful husband and a faithful wife and faithful for those of you who are single and faithful for those of you who are children to your parents. You ought to maintain good works because your God gave you a hope of eternal life, and that is by his grace. So the next time your pastor asks you to do something for Jesus, to serve Jesus, to soul win, to do something, you know what your Bible says? You ought to be careful because your God gave you eternal life, and you are an heir. Anybody here excited for Jesus Christ? Anybody here? Anybody here? All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We are talking about heirship. We're talking about the promise that God gave a man a long time ago. We're talking about the eternal covenant that God made with Christ, the Son, if you will. Obviously, manifest in due time. So you're preaching that is the manifestation of his person, the Lord Jesus Christ incarnate, the establishment of the New Testament church, and so on and so forth. But I'm just showing you from your Bible that you are an heir, not through the law, but by the promise. Look at what it says now in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Y'all should know this by now. Who are the fathers? Isaac and And then obviously the descendants of Israel, there you have it. Okay, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he, that's talking about God, verse 1, hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So now in eternity, do me a favor, do your best to separate time. Like in over here, time, right, are three-dimensional. And in eternity, God appointed who? The Son to be made heir of all things. All right. You trusted the gospel, you know, in time when, you know, after the creation, the formation, you know, 5,000 years later, give or take, obviously you and I are born, if you will, and we respond to the gospel. Okay, you're born again. You trust Christ. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that you are a joint heir of who? Christ. You are an heir of God, and you are a joint heir with Christ, his Son. That's why you should be careful to maintain good works. Because God the Father promised his Son an inheritance of all things, and you and I are beneficiaries of his inheritance. You ought to be excited and to serve his Son the best you can, every time you can, when you can, because you and I are going to be graciously benefited by the Son's inheritance. Amen. That's good to know. That's why I'm excited. That's why I should be excited to serve Jesus, do my best to be a good church member, husband, and so on and so forth. Now let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6. Again, what are we talking about? Biblical heirship and what it comes through. As you guys can see, the promise. Amen. All right, Hebrews 6. We talked about this in our Friday night studies ago. And let's go to read it now. Verse number 17, the Bible says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, what does that mean? Immutable, just without change. It's impossible to alter, to change. In which it was impossible for God to lie. That's immutability right there, defined right there in your Bible. We might have a strong consolation, that's another word for comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. How many of you guys have laid hold on Jesus? Anybody here? How many of you guys have reached out to Jesus and asked him to save you? Anybody here? Christian? Anybody here? Okay, raise your hand. Okay. If you laid hold on that hope, it's his Son. If you went to the Son, and if you called upon the Son, and if you begged him to save your soul from going to hell when you die, you know what God reminded you of? He gave a promise, and he is willing to show the heirs of that promise. You know why you're going to have eternal life? Because I can't lie. You know why you can't lose your salvation? Because I can't lie. You know why I'm going to bless you for eternity? Because of me, not because of you, because I can't lie. You know why I'm going to give you eternal life? I'm going to reward you, not because of your faithfulness, because you can't be as faithful as God. Not because you show up to church on time, some of y'all amen. Not because you read your Bible every day, some of y'all amen. Not because you go soul winning when you know you can and you really don't want to, some of y'all amen. The reason why you are going to be benefited is because your God said, I can't lie. So then Titus 3, what the Holy Ghost tell you? That's why you have to maintain good works, because your God is going to bless you so much. So if he's going to do so much good for you one day, why can't you guys just do good for him right now in eternity, in real time? How about that? Anybody excited for Jesus? All right, now this is the anchor for your church, the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word of God is the authority, and his faithfulness, that is his attribute, he cannot lie. It is impossible. He just told us. That's why, my friend, being an heir of God through faith is so, so awesome, and that's why we should be compelled to serve him. All right, just a few more on the topic of heirship. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Read with me in verse number 7. All of these souls that are mentioned here in the Hall of Faith, as it's been dubbed by various Christians, these all obviously died in faith, and that's what the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us through their record. Abraham, Noah, King David, Samson, you know, all these great men that lived in Old Testament times before the death of Christ, all of these folks died in faith. The Bible says in verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became what? Heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. So that's why, if you leave the Bible alone, there is an heirship that has been promised and given from the foundation of the world. And that is an heirship which any creature, that is any descendant of Adam, can get in on or can receive, but it comes by faith. So every soul that died in faith, they are made a beneficiary of the heirship of the righteousness of God, which is by faith. You say, Brother Carlson, what's the difference between today the church being an heir of God through faith and Old Testament saints? They are an heir of faith, and God has a special place for them in the future, if you will. The difference is that when the Son of God was manifest and incarnate, you and I are justified by His personal faith. And so when the Father gave a promise to the Son that He is going to build an entirely new people called the church, the New Testament body, you and I have some great promises ahead that these folks don't necessarily get to be partakers of, like New Jerusalem, if you will, a glorified body like after Christ, but they're all on the same basis of faith to receive an heirship. That's the good news. Amen. So those are just minor distinguishes and differences. Let's go to verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, talking about Abraham, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Promise, 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 faith, faith, faith. There is an heirship. That's all I'm trying to point out to you today. We can get into details later on. One more. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. How many of y'all are married? Say amen. All right. Let me go ahead and remind you guys, in love, there's two nuggets we'll give you, and then we'll close. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 are referring to you wives, and I encourage you to read it. And if you're a female in here today, and if you want to be married, I encourage you to read verse 1 through 6 to train yourself on how God commands you to be a good, godly wife. Now look at here, verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, so everything that he just taught the wives, likewise, you husband, you ought to study. All right, now listen. Dwell with them, that is the husband with the wife, dwell with them. So does that give me an excuse to leave my wife because I want to? No. You and I are commanded by God to stay with our wife. Oh, but brother, I'm mad. I'm going to leave the church for a week or two. No. Your God just gave you a command, husband. You dwell with your wife. You forbear your wife. You suffer long with your wife. That's the example that God gave the wife from verse 1 through 6. Read it on your own time, brother, and you'll see it. Now let's keep reading. Dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. Yes, wives, God said you're more fragile, you're more emotional, you're not as if you will, strong as a biological male in the sense of your spiritual zeal, and that's okay. That's all right. But here's the good news. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So listen, a man who's married can go to Bible college, then go to seminary, then get degrees, then get certifications. They can have somebody say, yep, that guy knows what he's talking about. He knows how to rightly divide this. He knows how to define and to interpret revelation, prophecies, blah, 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 blah. But he treats his wife horrible. Everything that he's doing is in vain because God is not listening to his prayers. Bottom line. Oh, he comes to church, he carries a Bible with him, dresses good, but he treats his wife like garbage. You know what God said? I'm not listening to you. Until you start treating that woman like a vessel. Anybody here have a vase at their house with flowers? Anybody have something like this? It's precious. If you tilt that little vase over, it's going to crash. It's going to break. That wife is precious. That wife is to be taken care of. She is to be nurtured like you and I nurture plants. You're delicate with them, right? You make sure that they don't fall over out of their pot. The soil gets all over the place. You have to replant. Can you replant? Yes, you can. But you got to restructure the whole thing. So what am I trying to say? The Bible just told you and I that the wife and the husband are heirs together of the grace of life because God made a promise to both of them when they trusted the Son of God. And if they cannot get along for whatever flesh reason they want to give God, not the pastor, not the church, it's God, because ultimately it's between them and God. The husband, here's what you have. Your prayers are hindered. Your prayers are hindered. So now, if that's the promise of biblical heirship, husband, you ought to do your best to treat her good. But Brother Carlos, what if she treats him bad? Do you believe in God as your final authority? Then you obey verse number 7. You don't entertain your flesh. You don't entertain your mind. You don't entertain the weakness. You don't entertain the excuses. You do your best to entertain obedience. Can I get an amen? To the Bible, and you treat her good. You love her. You dwell with her according to knowledge because your God commanded you to do that. And if you say, well, what if she does this and what if she does that? You look at what it says in verse 7. Likewise, you know what the wife is told to do? being obedient to her husband, like Sarah. And who was Sarah? She was married to who? Abraham, and Abraham was messed up. So God said, you can do it. And if you've been born again, how many of you guys have the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. Come on. What excuse y'all have? So in the end of the day, biblical heirship. Let me close with this. Heirs together of the grace of life. Okay, here's a summary. Biblical heirship in the New Testament. There is the heir of the world. There is the heir of all things, Hebrews 1, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heirs of God, Romans chapter 8. According to the promise of God, heirship. Heirship of God through Christ. Heirship according to the hope of eternal life, Titus. Heirship of salvation. Heirship of promise. Heirship of the righteousness which is by faith. Heirs of the kingdom, book of James. And then lastly, the heirs of the grace of life. So guys, you and I are heirs of God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians. And it's ours and it's a guarantee because it is impossible for God to lie. You have it right now and it's coming to you one day. So friend, let's just obey the Holy Ghost. Let's be careful to maintain good works so we can just show Daddy up there, hey, in heaven, you know, Daddy, thank you, Abba. I just want to say thank you for everything you're going to give me. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do today. Go to church on time, read my Bible, go soul winning with pastor, do my best to be a blessing. I'm willing to be that faithful husband, that faithful wife, that faithful child to my parents because of your goodness to give me this hope, this heirship through your son, Jesus. I couldn't work for it, God. I can't do nothing to show you, how grateful I am. I've been perfect all the time, but God, help me to do the best I can. That's what you should, if you will, try your best to do every day you wake up. Amen? So there you have it, biblical heirship, New Testament. Let's close. Thank you, Lord God, for the Sunday school message on heirship. Lord, help us to respond just like the Holy Ghost taught us in Titus chapter 3, to maintain good works because of what you have promised us. We are heirs. We have an heirship by promise. We couldn't work for it. We sure don't deserve it. All of us clearly did, including myself. We still come short. We don't do what the Bible commands us to do 100% of the time. And if we know that now that we're being reminded by your Bible that you're still going to do this anyways because of your faithfulness, my God, may that motivate every single soul here today to do that much more for Christ where they haven't been. And I thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do through every single one of these, your children, for the glory of your son, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. All right, friends, let's go ahead and take a 15-minute break. We'll get ready for Sunday service. Amen. May the Lord bless.